upper chamber. They were in the upper chamber. Already baptized. Keep that in mind. Let's sing 288. 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take him at his word. 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take him at his word. Just to rest. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I prove him all and all. Jesus, Jesus, pray. good to know that we can trust our Lord. You imagine if you had to go through a church or a pastor or some good brother for him to, for your saving, for eternal life. I mean, not putting anything against those people. But you can't trust them because they're not able to be trustworthy in that sense. But our Lord will be able to perform. Promised it already. Cannot change from it. So we're very grateful for that. Let's sing the chorus, Jesus, name above all names. It's just a short chorus. And then we'll have testimonies if there's any. Anybody with a testimony? Sister Diane. Pauline, I mean. They look so much alike.
It sort of sounds a bit funny, but I was in the supermarket the other day and I was looking over the vegetables I was choosing and the cauliflowers, and I looked in the mirror and tried to get a nice one at the back, and I picked it out and a lady came up to me and she says, "Why did you choose that one?" And straight away in my heart it came, "Why did God choose me?" And it just made me appreciate that the Lord chose me. Just because the lady said to me in the supermarket, "Why did I choose that particular cauliflower?" But you know, why did God choose me? And I just thank Him that He chose me.
Yes, amen. I actually had a similar thought the other day before we pick up anyone else's testimony, which we're still waiting for. I had the very same thought when I was meditating on the Lord and thinking, "Lord, why did you choose me? Because I sure don't deserve it." And then straight away popped in my mind, but the Lord was telling me, "I think you are worth it because I called you." He sees us differently to how we see ourselves. And there's no way that I know that I deserve to be saved. There's no way. And then I thought, of the tens of millions of people in this world, and have been even more to probably trillions, why did He choose me? You think, what's the chances of you, or put it very crudely, like winning a lottery, I gather. They have the one in the, whatever they call it here in New Zealand, and thousands of people go in it weekly, thousands of them, and their chances of getting called is pretty slim. And yet if you look at your own salvation, the Lord God chose you out of trillions, I'm suggesting, trillions of people, and we're one of them. Thank you, Lord, when you start to realize what he's done for you. Any other testimony? Yes, there's two. Brother Peter.
Just along those same lines, Bubs and I sat down to a beautiful meal last night. It was a beautiful meal, huh? And before we prayed, I thought, why do we deserve this? Millions of people are going hungry tonight. Hundreds, possibly thousands in our own city are going hungry tonight. Kids are starving around the world. I looked around at our home and I thought, we have a home. By world standards, it's a beautiful home. But millions do not have a home. Millions have gone through devastation, fires, floods, earthquakes, you name it. And yet, why are we so blessed? I couldn't answer that. But thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Peter. I know what you're saying, because I also had that thought some weeks before about kids that are, particularly children, because they're so innocent, have to have water, or even the fires that they've got in America and in Australia. Just, they lose their homes, they lose their life, they lose their people. We've got a lot to be thankful for. And I'm sure we are. If you think about it, you realise what the Lord's watching over you for. Sister June.
Well, I also have much for which to thank the Lord, but I like to thank him for journeying mercies and for undertaking for all our travel and for the services and all that he did for us while we were away. I'm very thankful, and for watching over our homes and things. And I was quite stirred inside. In Singapore, we stayed in what they call Little India, and there were many Indian people there. But on the Sunday afternoons, James was telling us, and we saw it, on each of these big greens, a whole lot of Indian people gather. Apparently they're all from different sort of, I don't know, not religions, but areas, yeah. And this big green was just absolutely covered with people. And I thought, what a harvest. You know, what a precious souls that just, unless the Lord saves them, they're dying in sin, you know. And I just, my heart went out to them. I said to Howard, you should have the service here. You know, but I guess you can't just do that. But I just pray that the Lord will send out labourers into his vineyard.
Just while you mention that, that Little India, is that the place where they've got a lot of stores, all those cheap watches and clocks, and they've got accommodation in that same area?
Yeah, we stayed in the hotel. Oh, in a hotel. Yeah.
I've been there, but I didn't realise they had accommodations, that was all.
Yeah.
Okay. Any others? Sister, that one there in the white.
When I was younger, I always used to think, well, there's a Mel Gilchrist in there, and these days you look on the computer and there's a lot more Mel, well, not a lot, but there's several more Mel Gilchrist. And I used to think, well, how did that come about? And Robert Gilchrist, there's a Robert Gilchrist doctor in Christchurch in our own very land. And I think, well, how did that? Years ago I thought this, but then I thought to myself, oh, of course, because God knows everything anyway. So I didn't name those boys and I didn't name my children. God did. So, and that's why they've got other names as well, same names. But I do thank God, and I thank God for feeling a bit better, and I thank God you're going to save my husband. We're going in the rapture together. Thank you, Lord. Thank you.
Well, I knew it was Merle. You didn't have to remind me, but the thing is that God knew that that was the right Merle that he meant. It wasn't any other Merle. There may be two or three of yours, but that's the one that we're grateful for. Amen. Okay. What about Brother Taz? Has he got anything to say? Just because you're looking all very intensive there.
Just to thank the Lord for his faithfulness, that it doesn't matter what we go through, whether personally, family-wise, or whatever it may be, there's always things that are challenging us all the time. But in the end, it's recognizing, accepting the sovereignty of God and just thanking him and trusting him that he is faithful no matter what we go through, no matter what the situation, he has it all under control.
Thank you, Paul. I think you have one too, do you?
Yeah, I just wanted to thank God for watching over Pauline and I as we travelled over to Taranaki and back last weekend, and just thank the Lord for the wonderful fellowship we had at Stratford with the little fellowship over there. God bless them.
Brother Taru.
I just want to thank the Lord in all the sufferings we go through. I thank the Lord. For it is he who just got to wait and wait that the glory will break through. Amen. And it's him, and it's all him. So thank you, Jesus.
Well, if we don't have a testimony, we know that we can just be a testimony. Just believe that God is working through you, and there's other people that will be watching and wanting what you have. Okay, well, let us sing while we're seated. 371, beautiful Christ, beautiful Christ, because he is a beautiful Christ. Sing it with love in your hearts and on your lips for our Lord.
Beautiful Christ.
Thank you, Brother Howard.
Praise the Lord, beautiful Christ. He'll outshine the sun. Our Lord will. He's so wonderful. You think you know how beautiful he is? Just wait till you get on the other side. Yeah. Just wait till you get there. God bless you, Brother Tom, Brother Tahu. Great to have you here again. It's good to be back. And we just thank the Lord for His precious word, which we know is the absolute. This is God's final authority, and we'll hold to that by the grace of God through thick and thin. So, who loves the Lord?
Amen.
That's good. That's a good start. I wonder if we could stand for the reading of God's word from St. John chapter 3, verse 14. St. John chapter 3, verse 14. Just while looking it up, I just want to testify of God's sustaining power. When I was away, I got to places of great exhaustion, really. Wow. But He kept me. And when I went to the pulpit, He sustained me. And He's promised to be our strength. And I thank Him for it. St. John chapter 3, verse 14. And Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is a condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh into to the light, and that his deeds may be made manifest, and that they are wrought in God. So may God bless the reading of His word. Shall we just pray? Lord Jesus, we come to You this afternoon, Lord. We just pray, Lord, that Your Holy Spirit would quicken Your word to our hearts, each one. We thank You for Your word. It's so precious to us, Lord. It's life to our souls. We pray, Lord, that You'll speak to each heart here and those who will be joining with us in other parts of the world right now, Lord. May they be blessed too, encouraged. We ask it in the wonderful name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. I've got a real simple title. Very simple. And it's this: The Simplicity of Salvation. The Simplicity of Salvation. You know, I love the scripture which says, the common people receive Jesus gladly. You know why? They can understand Him. You know, He just made things so simple when He said, a sower went out to sow seed. They could relate to that. It wasn't some big mumbo-jumbo stuff that left them standing. Oh, what's He saying? But He used simple types, simple parables, so that we would understand the simplicity of the gospel. But today, salvation is approached in such a complicated way, in many areas, and in different ways. And this is by, unfortunately, sincere and dedicated people. There's nothing worse than to be wrong on something and actually be really dedicated and sincere about that wrongness. You know, and I just bring this scripture which says, I haven't got it here, but it's in my mind. Because they had not a love for the truth, they did not have a love for the gospel. You know what happened? God put them over to strong delusion that they would actually believe a lie. Not the devil, God did, because they rejected the gospel. They wanted something more complex. And they actually believe it. They will believe a lie. So that's really sad. So it's not of God that they are struggling and striving with no victory. The human reasoning and intellect frustrates the grace of God. And I love that scripture in Galatians 2:21, which says, I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. In other words, if your righteousness comes by whatever, studying the Bible in the sense of, oh, I think I can be a better Christian, and that's okay. But if you're holding to that, then Jesus died in vain. He went to Calvary for no purpose. But he did go that you may be forgiven, that you may have his righteousness. In Romans 10, verse 2, we read this. For I bear them record that they have a zeal for God. See, just because we have zeal doesn't mean it's right. Zeal's good, but we need something else. Because they have a zeal for God, I bear the record they have a zeal for God, but are not according to knowledge, not according to the Bible. You can have a zeal, but it's got to be word-based. It's got to be in the Bible, as we said this morning. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. There's only one righteousness, and that is through the blood of Jesus Christ. Faith in the shed blood of Calvary is the only way we can obtain righteousness. Today we want to stay with thus saith the Lord from the Bible. After preaching this morning, we've got to stay with the Bible, because God will only honor this. He won't honor my thoughts or any other preacher's thoughts, but what his word says. So in our reading, we see that they looked unto Jesus to live. Now, opening scriptures is so clear and simple. It's so simple that it's hard to believe. The serpents, the snakes, came through the camp and bit everybody. And they're all dying with snake bites. And Moses, under the instructions of God, said, I want you to do something. I want you to make a brazen serpent on a pole of brass. And I'll put on a high pole. They had to put on a high pole because you get 2.5 million people camped out on the valley. You wouldn't be able to see unless it was up on a high pole. So they put it up on a high, Moses put it up on a high pole. And he said, all you have to do is look and live. That's complicated, isn't it? Just look and live. Just believe that what God said, all you have to do is look and live. And we know that there was a perfect shadow of Christ who was put on a pole at Calvary. And the brazen serpent represents, the brass serpent represents divine judgment. And the brass pole represents divine judgment. And the serpent represents our sin being judged and paid for. Hallelujah. Somebody say amen. I like to know my sins are forgiven, brother and sister. And this is exactly what happened. Let's turn to John 3, verse 14. It says this. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man, our Lord Jesus, be lifted up. And whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Now that is a simple salvation. It's not complex. Oh, I've got to go to church 6 times a week. I've got to do this. I've got to do. Listen, just look to Calvary. Look to Christ. And you are free the minute you do it. Hallelujah, Brother Tom. Isn't that great? Simple gospel.
Just believe what God said to do. Just look to Calvary and live. And so it's wonderful that we only have to do that. Not only was our sin judged, but our sin was paid for from the day you're born until the day Jesus takes you home. Every one of them. There can't be one left out. You can't go to heaven if there's a sin there. So every sin was taken care of. Every one of them. Praise be to God. Giving to everyone that fixes their eye on faith on the pole of Calvary, on the crucified Christ, will receive eternal life. That's all we had to do, Sister June. Go out on that paddock, there's thousands of Indians. All we had to go out and say, look to Christ to live. And if they looked, they'll live. That is too simple for some people. Oh, no. Oh, wait a minute. I've got to study for 6 years. I've got to get a degree. I've got to go do this. Just look and live. And maybe, my father often said, people with a snake bite, maybe on the ground, very weak. They couldn't even stand up. And maybe all they could do was just roll over and just look in the direction. They couldn't actually see it. But they looked and lived. Hallelujah. Isn't that wonderful, Brother Paul? They looked and lived just by rolling over. It's not a matter whether, do I see the pole, do I not? It's looking by faith. You're looking by faith at the brazen serpent. Hallelujah. It's just so wonderful. Their sins were paid for. Nothing else. Nothing else can take away your sin. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What drove Christ to the pole? What put him up on the pole? Was it the Romans? No. I'll tell you what put him up there was divine love for you and me. He said, I have power to lay my life down, and I have power to raise it up again. No man taketh it from me, but I give my life because he loves you. And he wants you all to have eternal life just by looking to him, looking to that pole, looking to the crucified Christ and living. Wonderful Savior. So wonderful. It says in John 3:16, I don't hardly have to read it. You all should know what it is. For God so loved the world. Now, I like to emphasize that. Because God so loved the world, they're getting it. No, God so loved the world. It's such a love for you and I that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him, just believe in him, should not perish but have everlasting life. Why? He loved you. He's not to condemn you. He didn't come to condemn the world. He came to save the world. He's a savior of our soul. The devil's the condemner. He's the savior. Let's say praise the Lord. He's our savior. The devil just condemns us, but Christ is our redeemer. He's come to save us for all who will look and live. So God is in the loving and saving business. His love for all mankind put him into action. John, 1 John 1:2. And people say, oh yeah, that's just for the Christians. That's just for you. I don't know about me. Listen to what the Bible says. Let's see what the absolute says. Not your opinion. 1 John 2:1. My little children, he writes, these things I write unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sinned, we have an advocate. Isn't that beautiful? With the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is a propitiation for our sins. Listen to this. And not ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Hallelujah. Brother Tom, everyone in the world could be saved right now if they just believe it. Just look and live. That's simple. There's a simple salvation. You don't have to go to church for three or five, 6 years. Just say, Lord, I believe you died for me. The thief on the cross, he didn't have time to get to church. He didn't have time to study the word, and not against those things. Of course we do. But that was nothing to do with his salvation. He just said, Lord, remember me. He looked by faith to the brazen pole next to him. He looked by faith and said, Lord, remember me when you come to your kingdom. And Jesus said, this day you'll be with me in paradise. The minute you look and believe, it's yours. Hallelujah. This is a great gospel. And this is what I preach overseas. I kept it real simple. My wife knows. Keeping it real simple. Don't get too complex. Keep it simple. So God moved with great love and compassion. He died for the sins of the whole world. He died for the sins of the whole world. For our sins and for our sicknesses, even as we stand here. He did it because that's the only thing he could do. If he loved you and he wanted to save you, Brother Lee said he knew him before the foundation of the world. He knew the Merles, the right one. He knew every one of us. He knows how many hairs are on your head. He knows everything about you. He knows you up inside out, back to front. He knows more about you than you do. I'm glad he does. Trusting in the Lord. We have come this far by faith, trusting in the Lord. Do you know that song? Oh, it's a great one. We have come this far by faith, trusting in the Lord. You've got to forget the song, boys. But I tell you what, it's really wonderful. We've come this far by faith, not by works, not by what we can do, but what he has done for you. Isn't that wonderful? I just love that. Really wonderful. So my little children, he's died for the sins of the world because God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. You know, you go and preach this anywhere, Brother Taz, any situation, just preach it simple. Just keep it simple and God will do the rest. We preach the word and the Holy Spirit will confirm it in the heart for those that will receive it. He come down. You know what the Lord Jesus did? Who knows what he did? The God of creation, the God of the universe, the God of the planetary system, of the galaxies, reduced himself down to a man in a body. He condescended, became flesh, because he loved you. And he came down, he died a very humble death. He died the death of a sinner. And he was made sin for us. All our sin was all over him and he died a sinner's death. Let's turn to Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. You know what he did? He took off his robes as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He hung them up. He hung up his robes. And he took a lower place, very low place. He took upon him the form of a servant. Well, if you look at that servant, it'll translate down to slave. And was made in the likeness of men. He came amongst his own creation. They spat on him.
That didn't deter him. And being found in the fashion as a man, he humbled himself. Are you ready to humble yourself, brother, sister? Who's ready to humble themselves? Are we really ready to humble ourselves? Or we just want to start a certain level that's acceptable? But the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, humbled himself right down and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And Jesus paid it all in full at Calvary. So what can any person do now? All they have to do, who wants to know how to be saved? You people out there in the world, do you want to know how to be saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. Believe that when he died at Calvary, he died for you. Believe that when he died, he took all of your sin upon himself. Let's turn to John 3:16 again. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish but have everlasting life. It didn't say we had to do this, we had to do that and do this and do that. No, just believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Look and live. That's all they did in the wilderness. They turned and looked and at the brazen serpent. They looked at Calvary and by faith they lived. Isn't that wonderful? It's that simple. Another scripture says in Romans 10 verse 8. And what saith it? The word is nigh thee even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach, that if you shall confess with the mouth the Lord Jesus and shall believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. You know, when I come, people come up, you know, the prayer lines and that, especially overseas, we get people coming up for prayer and they want to give their life to Christ. And I say, well, you better do the praying because it's you and God. The Bible says if you confess with your mouth, so you need to pray to God yourself that God will actually receive you. And so I just say to them, you pray now. Lord, I ask for your forgiveness. They say, Lord, I ask for your forgiveness. Lord, I believe that when you died at Calvary, you took all my sin upon you. And I get them to pray that prayer. And when they pray it, like a brother I saw in Singapore, when he looked up, he was glowing. He was glowing. Before he was like this, you know. But then he looked up and he was glowing. I said, that's better. There's joy in his heart to know that God has heard his prayer. So it's really important. So we see there, it's really important. Wonderfully important. Now the Bible says, the man, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with mouth confession is made unto salvation. So I say this, it's really important you open your mouth and confess what you believe. Very important, just how I believe in my heart. No, he that believes in his heart and confesses with his mouth. Is that what the Bible says? Believeth unto righteousness. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, 1, and shall believe in thy heart, 2, that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. So brothers and sisters, this is really and really important. When you're talking to people and you're sharing with people, make them say something. Clinch a deal with God. Get a confession out of them from their heart, but through their mouth, their own mouth. Many come up and say, oh, I want to give my heart to the Lord. Would you pray for me? Well, that's very nice, but you need to pray yourself. It's you making it right with God, not me. That's the truth, brother and sister. It doesn't come through the preacher. It comes from you to God. There's only one mediator between God and man. Who? The man Christ Jesus. He's your only intercessor. Not the preacher. Now, the preacher can be a help, of course, encouragement. But actually, when it comes down to doing something with God, you need to do it yourself.
Isn't that wonderful? Nothing more that can we do but to believe on him. And if we sin again, unfortunately, that sin lieth within us. It's in our whole system. We need forgiveness every day of our life. Who believes that? Sins, the confession of sin saves you. The blood of Jesus saves you. But listen to this in 1 John 1, 8 to 9. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. That's clear. And the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, hallelujah, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from most things. That doesn't sound right, does it? Cleanse us from all unrighteousness. A-double-L. You've got to be cleansed all or you're not getting into heaven. Sin will not be permitted through those gates. You have to be cleansed, completely cleansed by the blood of Jesus and confess with your heart that he died for you at Calvary and he hung on that pole and you're looking to him and you're living. That's simple. That's simple salvation. I'm telling you, that's all it takes. People say, oh, brother, I'm not a very good Christian. Oh, I'm struggling. Well, look and live. But people were squirming on the ground with snake bites. They were struggling too, but they had to look and live. Basil said, just look and live. Look and live, my brother, live. Look to Jesus now and live. It's recorded in his word. Hallelujah. It is only that you look and live. That's why we need the Hammond tune. Oh, I love that song played on the instrument. Maybe we'll sing a little later. Nowhere does God condemn a sinner. Nowhere in the Bible does God condemn sinner. He condemns sin, but not the sinner. Let's read on, John 3:17. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned. If you believe on him. But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed on the name of the only begotten Son of God. Why is he condemned already? Because without believing on the Lord, you are left in your sin. You see, brother and sister, we're all born sinners. We're a bunch of born sinners. When you came from your mother, you're born a sinner. Before you even squeaked, you're already born in sin. Shaped in iniquity, come to the world speaking lies, the Bible says. Because without believing on the Lord, you are left in your sin. We were sinners to start with. So if we do not believe on him, we are left in our sin. It's simple. I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Raise your hand if you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's great. You're all believers. That brother down the back, you can raise your hand. I believe he does believe. Hallelujah. The Bible says in John 3:18, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is a condemnation. This is a condemnation, not your sin. No. This is a condemnation that light has come into the world and men love darkness rather than light because of deeds of evil. God's not going to hold you accountable because you're a sinner. No. He knows you're a sinner. What he holds us accountable for is we don't receive the way out. We don't receive the way out. We don't receive Jesus Christ as our Redeemer, as our Advocate, the one that goes between us and God. I'm so glad that Jesus loves me. I'm so glad that his blood was shed for me. May the Lord be merciful. It's not, God never condemns a man. They condemn themselves because they refuse to take the way out. And there's millions of people refusing to take the way out. Who's glad they accepted him by believing on him? All we had to do is look and live. Look and live. Just so simple. Then we should live for him every day. Rejecting the world and the things of the flesh which grieve him day by day. And the reason we do it is because we love him. And the reason we love him is because he first loved us. What is simple? What a simple and glorious salvation we have. You can go down to the railway station, as it were. Not many people there now, but you go down to the bus station. You just tell people that Jesus died for them. Without him, you're lost. With him, you're saved. Just look and live. Believe that he did it for you. Let us trust him every day for our salvation, for our healing, which were both wrought at Calvary at the same time. Let us never deny or doubt him ever again, but say, thank you, Lord, that I can look and live. I can look to Calvary and live. Who wants to look to Calvary? Sometimes when you feel a bit down and you've done things wrong, things you shouldn't have done, just say, Lord, I look once more to Calvary. The blood was shed for me, and I accept that precious blood that you'll cover me of all my failings and sins. Brothers and sisters, we're free. Free! 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 Who believes I'm free? Say amen. I'm free in the name of the Lord. Praise be to God. Sister June, would you like to come? Brother Peter? Yeah. Look and live, my brother, live. Look to Jesus now and live. It's recorded in his word. Hallelujah. It is only that we look and we live. Praise be to God. Can we stand? This song was written from the reading we had. And Israel's in the wilderness and snakes had got them. And Moses said, well, the Lord told him to raise up the brazen serpent on a pole. And all they had to do was look and live, signifying our Lord Jesus Christ, who was also raised upon the pole. All we have to do is look to him and live. I've a message from the Lord. Hallelujah. A message unto you I'll give. 'Tis recorded in this word. Hallelujah. It is only that you and hallelujah. Oh, look at me. Praise God for the simplicity of the gospel. It's just so wonderful. Little Brother Lee, would you like to just come and close now as we sing it? Look and live. My brother.
I'm just thinking about those people in the desert, snake bit. Just for the sake of the story, you were them that got bit. You're lying in the dirt, and you know that there's people around you that have looked and are getting better. Why wouldn't you look? Why wouldn't you look? And that was only to get well. What we're talking about now is eternal life. Thank you, Lord, for making the way possible. Shall we pray? Lord Jesus, we're very grateful for what we read in the Word of God. These are real examples for us. And on that story, I forget the people involved. People died. Others lived. It's the same today, except they're looking to Jesus Christ, if they will. Lord, may we be signposts for those that don't understand. Help them to see past all the carry-on of churches and people that are not relevant. But may we all look again. And once is sufficient, but let's keep looking at what Jesus did on the cross of Calvary. We love you, Lord. Bless the people that joined in on the services. Wherever they are, may they be uplifted and encouraged. Help us, Lord, during this coming week, and be with us as we go on our way as we close the service. Amen. You are dismissed.